There was a story where there was a student in medical school, and apparently this student was the class goat. Everyone took special hanah picking on this student and driving him crazy, bullying him. And apparently one of the things they did is every day in class, someone would go out and steal his lunch. Everyone in the class knew who it was, knew what was going on. They would shepherd this student about it, but no one would tell him who the name of his tormentor was. Vayhi hayoim, one day, middle of class, one of the students suddenly vomited, started trembling uncontrollably, and he got terribly sick. Everyone panicked. They called Hatzalah. And while everyone was trying to go ahead and take care of the student, this class goat gets up there and says, Rabbeisai, I now know who's been stealing my lunch. I poisoned my sandwich. And this is the fellow who's guilty. A few minutes later, the student is dead. They asked Rav Zilberstein, what is the halacha with this person who put the poison? Is he a ritzayach? Is he a murderer? Asur, mutter, what is the halacha? So Rav Zilberstein said, not only is he not a ritzayach, what he did was a mitzvah. Based on our sugya, halitehu v'rosho v'yomos. He who asked him to steal the sandwich, if he stole the sandwich, it was poisoned, and he died, that's his problem. Now actually, to be perfectly honest, I kind of made up the ending. In his ending, the fellow had the antidote in his pocket, he shoved it down his throat, and everything was wonderful. But as far as the concept and the discussion, l'chayre, if you're going to be mater and say it was a mitzvah, halitehu v'rosho v'yomos, it would be the same mitzvah if the person dies. Now this question and this case was published in one of these journals, Pamoina Yaakov, and Baruch Hashem was a very successful publication, because when this came out, there was an avalanche of angry letters to the editor. And they said there were 10 or 15 marochos, people sent in long tshuvos to argue on this psak. It ranged from Chassidus HaPoiskim to Rabbanot Poiskim. The entire spectrum came out and argued and said this cannot be, this halacha is not true. So the Yitzchok Zilberstein answered, he actually stood by his psak, but I'd like to go through some of the Shach Vitaria and the interesting halachas that come out. So Zilberstein's main argument is, he starts over the basic premise that you can do what you want with your nechasim. The same way you can eat your sandwich. If you want to put poison in your sandwich, you're being oisib b'toch shalai, you can do whatever you want. If someone goes ahead and, without permission, goes ahead and steals your sandwich and eats it, you haven't done a ma'aseh b'yadayim, you're not the murderer. What he did is his problem. He's dead, but halitel v'rosh l'yamos, when someone is doing averis, we're not concerned, and adarabba, we seem to be okay with him suffering pretty severe consequences. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean for trespassers. It means you'll invite your guest in for Shabbos, and your pit bull will go at him. But we don't see that, at least we don't have a raya from that case, that if someone's going to enter shaloi kedin, we have an obligation to protect him. Now, Rav Zilberstein brings a raya from Maseches Derech Eretz. The Gemara tells a story with the Yeshua that whenever you invite guests to your house, you should be mechaved them, kabdeu v'chashdeu. So the Gemara says over a story where he invited a guest, he gave him to eat, gave him to drink, he showed him to his bedroom in the attic, and then to protect himself, he pulled away the ladder. This fellow gets up in the middle of the night, goes through the attic, takes out all the valuables, wraps them in his talus, starts his getaway. He didn't realize the ladder was gone. So sure enough, he falls down falls down to the ground, breaks a couple of bones, and the next morning when Yeshua finds him, he tells him, listen, that's the halacha, you have to kabdeu v'chashdeu, and that's the end of the story. Zucker Zilberstein. So we're here as well. You have a guest. Your choyshid, he's going to be a ganav. So you set a booby trap. And he's medayik from the bones that were broken, it was a sakana. Vice ois, you see you're allowed to booby trap your house, that if someone tries stealing, he may end up getting hurt, he may end up getting killed. And this is the same concept, he says, ha'oteo v'rosh v'yamas. So this was Rav Zilberstein's psak. Now, the letters that came in and the people arguing, there were a number of different tainas that they had. We'll go through three of the arguments and chidushim lehalach, what comes out lehalach. The first argument, which is really what we mentioned last week, is that halutel v'rasha, the case in the Gemara is where it's passive. You have a field, there's arla, ganavim are going to come in. So the Gemara says, during Shemitah, where they're allowed to come in, so lafushim yisru, you have a proactive obligation to mark things off that people shouldn't be over in Issa. On the other hand, during the rest of the year, when they have no business coming in, you don't have to worry a ganav will come and eat arla. Who asked him to steal? In that case, you have no obligation. The Tale of Rosh of the Yom says, you don't have to mark it off. You don't have to make things pleasant for and easy for the ganav. You can leave the michshol the way it is. However, this case is much worse. Here, biyadayim, you're setting a trap. So does the halitah of a rasha apply when you are biyadayim setting up the trap for that rasha to get hurt for that rasha to be over an issa? So on that, there are a number of radios that there is no such answer. The Tumim says that if a person cannot aser his chatzer on someone who he suspects is going to be a ganav and come in. Because without that, the ganav will come in, he'll be a gazlan. If you create this iser, this neder, this cherim, now the person who gazlan will be over a second iser. He says, that you're not allowed to do, you're being machshel him. Now what happened to the tale of Rosh of Yomis? So although he doesn't speak it out, it's mustaver the pshat is, here you're being proactive. You're doing something that will now be machshel the gazlan, that we do not find that there's a heter. It's only when it's passive, you don't have to mark it off. But to set up the iser, that perhaps there's no heter to do. The Chavis Yar actually speaks this out. He's dealing with a case, the question involved having... Now the Chavis Yar has a similar concept. He's dealing with a question of whether a person's allowed to have a butcher, has nevelos and trefas, whether he's allowed to leave it in his house and sell it over time. So the tshuva, the bulk of the tshuva is discussing doing schar b'machalos asurais, when it's b'mikra, different svaras back and forth. But along the way, Chavis Yar throws in that it's also to keep it in your house because you know that it's treif and you know not to eat it. The people in your family know that. But if you have a guest that comes in and he gets hungry, he goes ahead and he helps himself to some food without asking permission. So even though he's a gazlan, nevertheless he will not realize that this food is treif and you're being machshel him. And in such a case, he says that would be also lifnei yivam. Now here too as well, you didn't give him permission. And he says clearly, this guest is being over an iser of loy sigzel. Nevertheless, because you are setting him up, you're putting a davar shel iser in a place where it's likely for him to take it, we do not say the svar of halutel v'rosh v'yomois, because again, you're being proactive, and the heter doesn't apply in such a case. So again, the same argument, putting poison, l'chari would not be included in halutel v'rosh v'yomois. Now, in truth, this halacha is really, there's a mishnah mefureshes that a chaver who stops off in an inn, apparently they used to give their food to the innkeeper who would go ahead and cook it and bake it for them. So halacha is, if this innkeeper is chashud, then you have to make sure to take off meiser before you give it to her, because otherwise we're afraid she's going to take it, she's going to use it or give it to other people, and there'll be a takala that will come through that. Rabbi Yossi argues in the Tanakhama and says, we're not achroi on a ramai. If she is going to go ahead and steal the food, we don't have to worry that this food will not be masukin, it will be aser. She's a ramai. We don't have to worry about her, and therefore there's no chiyuv to go ahead and to be masakin it before you give it to her because she is being a ramai. Now, the Yerushalmi says that this machlokes Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi is the same machlokes of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim of Halutel of Rosh of Yomis. And if therefore, it should come out, if you hold Halutel of Rosh of Yomis, then we should hold like Rabbi Yossi. But Maya said, we pass in that case like the Tanakhama. You cannot give the food to this innkeeper unless you're misakin it beforehand, which again would be very gishmak. The Tuf Tam Vida says, since you're biadayim giving it to her, so even though she's now going to be a gazlan, still in this case we do not say halutel of rosh of yomos, and here you do have an achrayis to make sure that this food is kosher before you give it to her. Now, although this is the tuf tam das pshat, but ma'aseh, if you look at the pirush mishnayis over there, the different mefarshim and look at the Yerushalmi, they're a bit mashma not like this. Because they say a number of other pshatim. They say that that case is worse. There, one pshat is that this innkeeper is really mechavan l'toiva. They take the chaver's old stale bread and she swaps it for her fresh bread. She's trying to do a toiva. So even though what she's doing is wrong, it's gezel, since in her mind she's doing a mitzvah, she's giving this chashav atal and chacham better food. So in that case, where there'll be where a michshel will come out when she's trying mechavan l'toiva, there everyone agrees you do not say ha'ilitel v'rasha v'yomis. Masha'enkein, if she wasn't mechavan l'toiva, it sounds like in that case, in a chanami, in that case, we would say ha'ilitel v'rasha v'yomis, even though you're giving it to her, even though you're doing a ma'isi b'yadayim. So again, it seems to me machlokes had to learn that pshat in that mishnah. Some, according to some pshatim, it will be a raya to this yisoid. According to many pshatim, adrabe, it will be a kasha on this yisoid. So be that as it may, that's the first taina on this psak, that when you're proactively putting it in the poison, there l'chayr we do not have a raya that halotel v'rosh of yomos will apply. Now the second point is that Rav Shlomo Zalman actually talks about this story Maseches Derech Eretz. And he's matra the story. He says like this. He says the case was where you showed the guest his room upstairs. You pulled out the ladder. Now, if the guest decides in the middle of the night he wants a midnight snack, so he takes his candle. He'll carefully make his way to the trapdoor. And when he sees there's no ladder, he'll turn around. They see he'll notice that he can't get out. What happened over here? The guy was a ganif. He was in such a rush or such a bahala to make his getaway without getting caught, he didn't look where he was going and he fell down. Shlomo Zalman says, okay, in that case, I don't have to worry that the ganiv is not going to watch where he's going and he's going to get hurt. That kind of zehirus, that maybe the ganiv won't be careful, that's not my achrayus. But in Echami, what's mashiv from Shlomo Zalman is that if I'm setting it up in a case where he's taka going to get hurt, and where he doesn't notice there's poison in the sandwich. There's no way for him to realize that. There, Shlomo Zalman is mashma. There's no heter, and that would be awesome. It's only in this case where even a ganiv would normally notice the problem. The idea of Rabbi Yeshua was not to kill the ganiv. The idea of Rabbi Yeshua was for the ganiv, after he gathers all the silver, to see he can't go anywhere, and therefore he'll put it all back. But if you're setting him up in a case where he'll get hurt, where he can't protect himself, in Echnami, that would be awesome. Okay, so it's like this. If you're injuring him, then it goes into the point that Rav Shlomo made last week of Avinish Dilanafsha. If someone's trying to break into your house, putting aside issues of a roidit, the only way you have to stop him by injuring him, that you find you can do. To kill a person, to prevent him from stealing, you don't find that there's such a hat. So therefore, in this case, in this case of Maseches Derech Eretz, his rather Zilberstein is medayik that over there it was his life was in danger, and therefore he brings a raya that it's mutter since Hayotel over Russia. Shlomo Zalman is mashma that no, you're only allowed to do it because the normal case is the person will notice there's no trapdoor, he won't fall down. This person was a shlomazel, he wasn't watching where he was going. So in that case, Hayotel, you don't have the proactive obligation to make sure your premises are safe and pad the floors in case a ganav comes in. But to go ahead and do something which Al-Piteva will kill him, there Shlomo Zalman is mashma that it's asa. Now, Rav Zilberstein quotes this Rav Shlomo Zalman, and then he says, but even in the case of the poison, these are medical students, he could have tested it, he could have noticed the poison. So again, in Metzius, I'm not sure where to draw the line, how possible it has to be. But Kolponim from Rav Shlomo Zalman, it sounds like if you warn the person and there's a potential he won't be careful, that's fine. But if it's a case where it's set up, where the normal course of events is, it'll taka kill him, then Rav Shlomo Zalman is mashma, there's no such heter. And the last point that Zilberstein makes, and this kind of pulls the rug from under the psak, is he has the following problem. Let's say you're walking by the street and you see the ganav. And this ganav was already, he had the poison, he's sitting there dying. What's your obligation? L'samra adam re'echa, you have to save him. Now if you have a chiv l'samra adam re'echa to save the ganav's life while he's sitting there writhing in agony on the floor, so here you have an easier way to save him. Just don't put the poison in the first place. Zagrav Zilberstein in a chanam. And he says a tremendous chiddush. He says, if the person is a ganiv, he's a murmur l'hach, l'teyavoin, why is he breaking into your house? He wants money. Murmur l'teyavoin, you're not allowed to kill. And a murmur l'teyavoin, if he's in the sakana, you have to save him. So in such a case, to put his life in danger, he says, avadi, you can't do. What was his heter based on? He said, in the case of this bully, he says, there is a mumar lahachis. He wasn't stealing the sandwich because he was hungry. He was doing it just to torment the other person. Zagrav Zilberstein, if you're doing it a mumar lahachis, you're being over gezel constantly, tormenting the person, lahachis, just for the avera, not because there's this taiva, he said, that's a mumar lahachis. Here there's no chi of hatzalah. And for that matter, even if Hatzalah came, it sounds like he's posturing that they can just sit by and watch the person die because he's a murmur lahachis. And therefore, he says, in that case, that is why he was makel on his tail of Rosh of Yomis. But in your typical case, when you're setting up your booby trapping your burglar alarm with a machine gun, that would be usur. Presumably, they're stealing the Lateyavoin. And therefore, this psak would have very limited applicability. That's what he says. That's what he says. He also actually has an arichus about the dangers of bullying. How what kind of roishim was having the person, he's come out like a roidif. But it comes out this psak again, and even this psak, like I said, everyone who wrote in was, everyone else argued, based on this point, you don't find you can actually kill a person for these things, or be gorim is misa. But even his psak was in this very, very limited case. Now, so here, l'chor, it's a different taiva. It's not a taiva of I want to eat a sandwich. It's some people have a certain perverted pleasure of tormenting people. Enochami. It's a tremendous chiddush to say it's called lahachas. Again, this is halacha of aloy l'maisa, but it's just an interesting shak v'dalya. Now, one last chiddush in Ha'otel of Rosh Yomos. This is from the tshuva, in a tshuva from the Igros Moshe. He was discussing a case, a question about putting an Eruv in Brooklyn. And after he has a whole tshuva discussing the merits of it, so someone was suggesting that there is a chiyuv or a mitzvah to do so. Because unfortunately there are many mechalalei Shabbos, and these mechalalei Shabbos are constantly carrying things. If you put an Eruv, if you build an Eruv, so at least you're saving these people from the additional chilul Shabbos of carrying. So Moshe's first response is, no, because of our sugya, Ha'itel of Rosh of Yomis, since anyway they're going to be Mechal Shabbos in many other ways, so just going ahead and doing things to minimize the Chol Shabbos, instead of 10 Chol Shabbos, there'll only be 8, there Ha'itel of Rosh of Yomis, you don't find there's an obligation to do so. Zokra Moshe, maybe not. He says, perhaps it's different if you have people who don't know better, people who grew up not from. Perhaps they're considered an oinus. If someone's being over an Aveira Ba'inus, there's no svar of Ha'otel of Rosh of Yomis. Once you're being over one Aveira Ba'inus, let's go ahead and let you be over other Yisurim Ba'inus. Vira Adaraba, there there's a Chiyuv Lafushim Yisura. So if you have a way to minimize the Yisurim that are being done by building an Erev, he says, well, there'll be a Chiyuv to do so. And that he says that that's perhaps true in Svara. There's Mokum to say that they're an Oinus and therefore Ha'otel should not apply. However, he says, since he holds that an Eruv in Brooklyn is possible, you're not saving anybody from any Yisurim by doing that, and therefore the discussion is academic. But I'll call upon him, the Chiddush LaHalacha is that he's mitzadid, that if the person is an oinus, if the person is doing it because he doesn't know any better, there we do not say Ha'otel of Rosh of Yomos, and there Adarabah, if there's a way to minimize the Yisurim, there would be a mitzvah to do so. Now, just to be mashlim, this is the last year we have on the topic, so I'd just like to go through a couple of more examples of lifnei iver l'sitei mechshol. And that is, we had mentioned a few times, what is the halacha about renting an apartment or renting a store to someone who will be mechal Shabbos? The issue is, certainly in a store, he's going to be doing business, and there's going to be chilul Shabbos. Even in an apartment, he'll use the hot water. So what is the halacha? So we mentioned a number of svaras throughout a few weeks, just like to put them together. And as in any question of lifnei iver, the first issue or the first practical question is this a question of lifnei iver, d'oraisa, or is this a question of misayeh d'rabbana? If you do not rent it to him, will the isser be done anyway? He'll just go somewhere else? Or, by not renting him, are you preventing the isser from being done? So in a case where he needs you, you're the only store in the area, you're the only apartment, or alternatively, you're in Eretz Yisrael, where all the apartments are owned by a Yid, where whoever's going to give it to him is going to be a question of Lifnei Iver, So there we have a shayla of Doraisa. And a shayla of Doraisa, if by you giving it to him is going to be over the Yisr, if you don't give it to him, then the Yisr will not be done. Then, in such a case, many of the Poskim say that that would be Osir, and you would not be able to rent it to them because you're being goyim the Chol Shabbos. That being said, certainly in the United States, in the vast majority of cases, the Isser is going to be done regardless. If you don't rent them the apartment, they're not going to end up in the streets, they're going to end up somewhere else, and they'll be doing an Isser regardless. If that's the case, it is not a question of Lifnei Iver Doraisa. It's a question of Misayeya, and again, Misayeya, there are a number of other things, the Tzerufim were to be Mekel. Now, even in the case of a store, here we have the Mishnah of Aaron brings up an interesting point. If you don't rent him the store, he'll rent somewhere else. So either way, he'll have a store that's open on Shabbos. However, if you have a better location, more goods will be sold on Shabbos if you rent it than if you don't. So Zalka Mishnah Rav Aaron, since additional Isurim are going to be caused by the fact that you're renting it to him, now we're back to a question Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa and not just Maseya D'Rabban. Now what if it's a Suffolk? What if it's a Suffolk? You don't know which location. Perhaps we'll find you have a good location. But it's possible there's another location which is almost as good or perhaps even better. So if by a Suffolk, Mishnah Rav Aaron says, it would be awesome. Since it's a Vadai Lifnei Iver, and a suffix whether he can find it somewhere else, that's going to be awesome. Although there's a very often a heter of toilin, if you don't know if the iser will be done, it'll be, in many cases, that's a heter in lifnei iver. But over here, there's a vadi lifnei iver, just a suffix, maybe he'll do the iser even without you. There, the Mishnah Brian says, you have to be machmer, and he is choshish for lifnei iver d'oraisa. Now that being said, and based on that, the Mishnah Brian says it would be awesome, the Chokas Yaakov says that you actually have to evict a person who's there. Tzitz Eliezer also comes out l'chumra, although we'll see if it's for slightly different reasons. Now that being said, many of the poskim say, and halacha l'maaseh would be mutter. And there are a number of svaras why to be makel in this case. The first we mentioned from the Gris Moshe is that in contrast to the classic Lifnei Iver, where you're giving the nazir the bottle of wine, you're giving him the chifetz of Isser, here you're just giving him, renting him the space. Now he's using that space for a dover shel iser. There Rav Moshe says a svara, and the Marsham says a very similar svara as well. Since you're not giving them the chefetz of iser, you're just giving them the space. They're choosing in that space to do something which is an avla. That is not a direct lifnei iver. That is at most a question of misayaya. Once you're dealing with misayaya, the fact that this person is a mummer, he's doing it, he knows that it's aser, he's doing it anyway. We said over from the shach, the Misayeya Durabanon does not apply by a mummer. On top of that, we mentioned a number of Rishonim that hold that Lifnei Iver is when without you the Isser will not be done. If either way he'll do the Isser, but you're just allowing him to be Marva in the Isser, he'll do the Isser more times, there the Ritzva and other Rishonim said they will not have Lifnei Iver. Now in this case, regardless he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, even if your store location is superior, he'll sell more. That's only ribuy in Chilul Shabbos. It's not like if you don't write to him, he won't be doing any business. It's just he's doing more business. So therefore, according to these Rishayim, you will not have Lifnei Iver because it's only ribuy b'shiurim. So certainly by Misayeya, you can be samech on that svar. Now, interestingly enough, although the Tzitz Eliezer, as a matter of halacha, says it would be mutter, he can find another apartment regardless. Nevertheless, he says to rent a place to a Mechal Shabbos v'Farhesia in a frum neighborhood, he says it's pasha there, it's awesome. He says, first of all, it's a tremendous chilul Hashem. What? That it's awesome. But on top of that, he says the neighbors have a claim of Niske Shechinim. Now we went through Niske Shechinim Barichus. There are many different tainos, Ribay Derech, there's too much traffic, there's too much noise. We don't find that Chilul Shabbos is one of the Niske Shechinim. But Zog the Tzitz Eliezer, he says, Madach we find that having an increase in traffic under certain conditions, you can have a claim of Niske Shechinim, it's bothering the neighbors, it's a shter to them. He says, Kol Shkein v'Kol Shkein, if suddenly on Shabbos there are cars, it's Chilul Shabbos happening openly. He says it hurts the chinuch of the children. It takes away from the whole ruach of Shabbos, and therefore the Tzitz Eliezer says al tchoshen mishpat al niske shcheinim. You have the right to stop someone from renting in a frum neighborhood to a mechalel Shabbos b'farhesia. Now, another question that comes up, this is the Stipler deals with, is can you buy something, is it mutter to patronize a store or a factory that is mechalel Shabbos? So the Stipler over here has a tremendous chumrah, and he says, no, it's aser. Why? So he's medame it to the case of cholikim haganif. When you're cholikim haganif, you are buying something from a ganif. Now in that case, the ganif already stole. But what are you doing? You're going ahead and you're buying it from him. You're splitting the booty with him. Now in that case, it's lifnei yiver. Why? It's not the classic lifnei yiver that because of what you're doing now we'll go ahead and do the iser. Here it's the other way around. You already did the iser. However, just like a ganif only steals because he knows there are people out there that will buy it from him. And if everyone would stop buying from this ganav, he'll have no choice, he'll have to go ahead and find another profession. He's only stealing because he has the ability to sell it. That's lifnei yiver. So Zuck, the Stipler, who I did over here? Since the whole tachlis of this factory is to manufacture goods for sale, if people would boycott it and would not buy anything, he would have no choice other than to shut down his operations, not to be busy on Shabbos. And therefore, he says, there's a shayla of neiver, and you cannot buy from them. Now, it's mistavro, this psak is only really, generally only negay in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, if you have a store, basically all of your customers are going to be Jewish. So, loimi boy, if they're all from, we have a clear case of lifneiver, doima to chelik maganev. Even if some people are not from and will not listen to this psak, nevertheless, we have the Mishlam Melech. That even just because the other person will be over lifnei yiver is not a reason for me to be over lifnei yiver. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, where ultimately if everyone would get their act together, the person wouldn't be in business, there it's very mistavre to say that there's a chiv to stay away. Mashenke in Chutz Laretz, we're surrounded by goyim, and it's very mistavre, this person's clientele or customer base has many goyim, if not roiv goyim. So in such a case, even if you would stop buying from them, lav dafka, will that minimize the Chilul Shabbos? And therefore, in such a case, it's mistaver, the psak of the Stipler would not apply.
This limit of the Chilul Shabbos, right? That's the guy who misses a mincha, because he's working. You're calling him to miss a mincha. That doesn't take chumas and maizes, doesn't give maizes and stuff. You can imagine that you can't take your maizes and stuff. There's no end to this. You can boycott the whole world, because everyone makes.
You'll have to boycott yourself also, probably. Okay, it's a fair point, and as we discussed a number of times, there sometimes we find idea of lifnei yiver, other times we see arguments that's just called a grum. You're in the most extreme case, the most mechudish case, you're giving him the house, and now in this house he's doing something which he shouldn't be doing. So that's not a direct lifnei yiver. Problem over here is if when you're buying something and he's manufacturing it for his customers, that is, I think, more direct. If
you
wait a second. In Eretz Yisrael, I believe they're makbid. They do stay away from businesses that are opening their mechal Shabbos before Hesia. In America, like I said, it's less negeya because their clientele are very often mostly goyim, and even if everyone boycotts, they'll still be open on Shabbos. They're still going to be open on Shabbos, then it's not a question of lifnei yiver. Even misayeya is not so clear. It's only when they're only catering to Jews, where if we would stop, then there would be less Chilul Shabbos than in Echanami. Now, what comes out is that if you are a major customer and there's someone who's Mechal Shabbos and you're the one that's keeping him going, it's not so poshut. It's not so poshut. If you're being directly going to Chilul Shabbos, someone recently told me a story with Zev Wolfson that apparently he had one of these big law firms that did a lot of work for him. At some point, it came to his attention that some of the partners were Frayei Yidden. So going forward, he told them that going forward, he does not want any of his files worked on Shabbos by anybody. He knew he couldn't start saying, you yes and you no. So he told him, blanket, from now on, no work on Shabbos. When you give me the bill at the end of the month and the hours put in, I'm not paying for Shabbos work. And he did it because he was chayshish. He was a big enough client that if people were working on his files on Shabbos, they were Friday and would be Mechal Shabbos. Therefore, he put his foot down. He's not interested, and they just simply didn't work on any of his cases on Shabbos, regardless. Yid Goy didn't make a difference.
How about being a deaf mechanic? I give my talk to a mechanic. You say,
Now, another case that, again, we touched upon a few times is there's halacha mefureshes in Or Chaim, that you're not allowed to give food to someone who will not, give bread to someone who will not wash his hands, and who hadin, according to many poskim, to give food to someone who will not make a bracha. Now, again, at least conceptually, anytime if you have a grocery, you have a restaurant, and you're serving people who are not from, you should have this problem. Now, that being said, there are a number of svaras lahakel. Shlomo Zalman says that once you're not dealing with a question of lefnei iver d'oraisa, you're dealing with mesayaya, and it's typically true because he could get food elsewhere. So once it's a question of mesayaya, he says, then you have to take into account that if by refusing to feed him, you're going to push him further away from Yiddishkeit, says Adarabba, that is being mesayaya him in his aveirois, in his hashkafos rois, by not serving him, and therefore Shlomo Zalman is mitzadeh, this halacha should not apply today. It's one thing when shanim were kitikunam, someone was a baal aveira, he knew he was a baal aveira, he knew he was mechutz lamachana, and if someone refuses to serve him, he understood. You know, I rejected the norms of the community, they're not interested in serving me. However, today, in today's day and age, where that's not how it's looked at, if you refuse to service them, it would be goyim sinah. Shlomo Zalman says a svara that this isser should not apply. Yeah, talking about brachas. Rav Moshe has a similar chesed to what we mentioned before. He says if a person is grew up not from, he says there is a svara to say he's an oinus. By an oinus, you don't say the svara. He's again he's mitzadid, he's medayik from Magen Avraham, from Mishnah Brura. If a person is an oinus in Aveira, giving it to him, he says would be okay. Although Rav Moshe is mitzadid that this is not true. And that it will be us regardless, he says, nevertheless, a person wants to be some local, befrat, where it's negev, or it's parnasa, he says also another svara, why it should be mutter. Now the stipler says, and those are just a maisa rav, where there was someone asking, he had such a situation, where he had to feed someone, just and he knew the person would not make a bracha. So the stipler was miyayit him, that when you eat your food, just tell the person I'm going to make my blessing out loud, and I'm going to have in mind to be mitzi everyone, say it out loud. Hopefully he'll say amen. And in that case, he says, even though I don't know for sure whether he'll listen and be mechaven to me yoitz or not, I'll call upon him, it's a suffolk. And in such a case, you would be allowed to feed him. That was his eitza. If it's not negeya, so then very often you'll have the Shlomo Zalman's cheshbon to be matarit. If you're giving a gift that they'll be over, they'll do an iser with, and a chanami. And a chanami, you'll have a problem with that. There is one other potential heter, and that is if either way he's going to have a drink, and the question is whether he's going to eat tarifus and not make a bracha, or eat something which is kosher and not make a bracha. So there we set over a svara from many achrayim. We befrat when you're dealing with Meseyeya, he can get it on his own if he wants. So then, if you're minimizing the yeser, again, he's drinking anyway. It's a question of just no bracha or drinking tarifus. There's a greater svara to be mekel. It's not called putting a michshel adrab. It's called minimizing the nichshel. And therefore, in that case, many are mekel. Now, Rav Moshe also as far as doing business with people who will be mechal Shabbos, Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he is very, very novuch about either hiring someone who is not from, who may work on your item on Shabbos, or even supplying goods to a store that will likely sell them on Shabbos. And Rav Moshe is machmer. If a person asks for delivery he says he needs a delivery on Friday, he's out of stock, where it's clear, as soon as he gets it, it's going onto the shelves. There, Rav Moshe is not makel in such a case. On the other hand, if you're delivering it during the week, or he doesn't say he's out of stock, and there you don't know when he'll sell it, so there he's mitzaref different tzuruf from l'hakol. Maybe he will sell it on Shabbos, maybe he won't, and various other cheshbonos. But he suggests you try to do the mechira on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. We find in at least the halacha of the yotze b'svina that the first 3 days are more kal. We don't look at it as a direct action that's goyim chilul Shabbos. And he also suggests you tell the person, I don't want to get to be sold on Shabbos, or I don't want my item being worked on Shabbos. He says, even though they may or may not listen, I'll call upon him. Sometimes they do. They want to make the customers happy. At least you are doing your part. Okay,